everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, you know about Murphy's Law, right? When Murphy comes knocking at the door.
If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong.
If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. You are exactly right. Well, after the show yesterday, had a nice show and then got in the car. You know, it's only typical, what is it, excessive heat. It's like in the car, it's pretty hot, right?
It's like getting into an oven.
Yes. And then I turn on the motor and the air is just blowing like this hot air. I can't be. I mean, let me push it down to like 67 degrees. Somehow there's got to be some cool air in there. Could the Freon be completely, had they overlooked this when I took the car in for service a month ago? Yeah, there's no air conditioning in the car. So, and there's Murphy's Law, right? On one of the hottest days, we're close to record heat. In fact, I have excessive heat warning. Anyway, we'll try to get that taken care of before any longer, maybe another day or two. It's Thursday, September the 5th, 2024, the Buckmaster Show. We've been doing the radio show now. We'll be pushing 15... We'll begin the 15th year in January. We're coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This is part of the Bustos Media Corporation, where we have five radio stations under one roof. And this one is 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Where we piggyback the live feed from the 24/7 operation of KVOI.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line number is 790-2040, and it's open during the Buckmaster Show. And the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're pretty much an interview-driven show. A lot of shows are all what we call in the business call driven, but ours is interview driven. But that doesn't mean that we can't and gladly will accept telephone calls on the live line to add a little, especially when we have a newsmaker like Kevin Dahl here. Kevin is more than willing and able to answer and comment on listener questions. All right, Kevin Dahl is the vice mayor for the city of Tucson. He is a Democrat. That's no surprise. The entire Tucson City Council is a Democrat.
Yes, we are.
He represents Ward 3, and he's had some interesting jobs. Like at one point, he was head of Native Seed Search, which continues to do good things. Actually, I want to talk to him a little bit later in the interview about a book he wrote about home gardening. Because it's the perfect time of year for that, actually, now with the summer rains pretty much in the rearview mirror. And then he went on to become the program manager in Arizona for the National Parks Conservation Association. That was a sweet job.
It sure was.
He got to travel up to the Grand Canyon, over to Petrified Forest. Let's see, how many national parks are there in the state?
There's three national parks, but the Park Service also has national monuments and other units. And there's about 23 park units.
23 park units.
In Arizona.
And so that's a pretty nice job. You got to drive around.
And it wasn't just visiting. We would work with other groups to advocate for their protection and enhancement and make sure that they last for generations, right? Mm-hmm.
By the way, good to see you.
Likewise, Bill.
And you were born in the District of Columbia. How in the heck did that happen?
Well, that's my favorite riddle when you're talking about where you're born. My riddle is, I was born within the confines of the lower 48 states, but not in any of those states. And the only answer is the District of Columbia, which has representation in Congress, but doesn't have a vote, so it's not really a state. My father was in government. He had various posts in D.C. He was a law librarian. And he was a law librarian for the Navy. I have early memories of walking around the Pentagon back when it was open to civilians.
Sure.
And then for the Treasury Department.
Wow. We share that actually, Kevin, because some of my earliest memories as a young kid, We went back to D.C. every summer for 2 weeks for many, many years, because after World War II, my father decided to continue with the military in a reserve capacity, went on to be a full commander in the Navy. And this was in the Chicago area, but part of the deal was every summer for 2 weeks, we'd go back to D.C. And I can remember with my big brother running around the Pentagon.
Wow.
Yeah.
They don't
yeah.
let kids do that anymore.
I know. So, yeah, that's a part of the, that should be, that will be in the book when I finally do the book.
When you write your memoirs, many of us are urging you to do
that. I know. I keep hearing it. So we'll see if it happens. My friend Tim Steller, we'll transition into, obviously, the news here. Tim Steller wrote about this new half-cent sales tax that will go before our voters in March. And this would raise, the total sales tax would go up to 9.2%.
For people buying in Tucson.
Tucson.
And not all of that is city sales tax. Yeah. There's other parts of the sales tax.
So Tim brings up the point, is this kind of a heavy ask right now? And it's kind of like, is this one to ask too many?
I mean, my colleagues unanimously agreed that we want to ask for this.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. We're facing a shortage of funding from the state, from state shared revenues, because I believe the state legislature has been very poor managers of the state budget in a couple of ways. They made a flat tax. So people have large incomes who can afford to pay a little higher percentage, which really generates money for the tax coffers for the state. They don't have to do that. So they gave the people who are very, very rich a tax break. And then they've screwed up our educational funding by vouchers, which was projected to cost so much, and it's cost so much more.
Mm-hmm.
We're subsidizing people who want to send their kids to private school or do homeschooling where they can buy Jeeps and Legos mm-hmm. and all sorts of non-educational
and
stuff.
And we've had our friends from the Grand Canyon Institute on talking about this and the high cost. And it's been a big lift, let's put it that way, on the Arizona budget, these vouchers.
Yeah.
And I know some people say, oh, it's been just like best thing since sliced bread, but it's been a problem.
It's both degraded the quality of our public schools, which should be the best of all, and we know Arizona ranks 48th, 49th across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But from the city of Tucson's budget point of view, we only have limited general funds, and this will generate more general funds. Now, we're going to tell the voters specifically what they're going to be used for, and there's percentages, and there'll be lots of education about this, but do you want police to be funded? Do you want fire department? We need to fund the people who take the calls from 911 and 311.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dealing with housing and homelessness issues and the issues of fentanyl and people on the street. People ask us to do something about this, and we need the funds to do that. You know, the last couple of years, there's been extra money because of the federal program to help us with infrastructure mm-hmm. and with the impacts of COVID. That money's going away.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking ahead, which I think we... as someone who oversees a $2 billion a year budget, we have to. This seems reasonable. And as we ask people and we explain what the tax is for, they'd say, yeah, I can be taxed to make sure that police will be able to be around when I need them.
Mm-hmm.
And that firefighters have the protective material that they need and all the equipment they need.
And people knock the city all the time, say it's an absolute mess. There's actually some money in there to clean up some of the neighborhoods and the
yeah,
streets.
Yeah, and I like, because I've been a lifelong environmentalist, I like cleanups, and I'll do them whenever I can. Everybody needs to help with cleaning up. We need to stop throwing things out of the car windows, and if you think there's litter in your neighborhood, spend a couple of hours picking it up. But we do this very strategically, working with neighborhoods that are vulnerable. You know, there's the broken window theory that a neighborhood has a lot of broken windows experiences more crime. Now, that might be causal. It might just be connected.
Mm-hmm.
But cleaning it, there's nothing wrong with cleaning up. And the money we invest as a city in organizing these cleanups is multiplied, because we're not doing it ourselves. We're doing it with other nonprofits and with resident volunteers. I like the array of of things we're doing in this. I don't see anything that's not well thought out. So, you know, Tim can speculate as he does that whether the voters will go for it. I'm going to work hard, not using city resources because we're not allowed to advocate that people look at this, look at the benefits that you would gain. It's an investment. It's an investment in a safe and vital city, and I hope people will vote for it when we do it in March.
All right, we'll take a break right here. We'll have more with Kevin Dahl. It's a lot of important stuff going on, actually, with the Regional Transportation Authority meeting coming up. And by the way, Kevin, I was fumbling, if you saw me fumbling around just then, I was looking at the schedule, which I do. I do all the booking. And yeah. I've got the mayor coming on next Thursday. I thought it was next week. For some reason, I thought it was Tuesday. But it's at noon to 12:30. That's going to be an interesting talk. And one thing, before I do take the break, one thing I'll bring up with the mayor, there are, you know, the naysayers in this community saying this is a city riddled with crime. You know, there's weeds everywhere, the vandalism. And we've had Josh Jacobson on the program from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, and he thinks it's just a complete failing city. And I'm going to ask the mayor about that. Is this a failing city? Let me ask you about that right now.
We are no more failing than any other Western city. All of us are experiencing problems that are have to do with economic situation. People don't have money. There's a lot of concentration in wealth in a few people, and there's a lot of people at the bottom of the heap who have trouble keeping jobs. We're not dealing with mental health issues. And we have this overlay of fentanyl, which is a different kind of drug and is going to be so difficult to deal with. There's ways that we need to start dealing with it. City has some operations, and we do those, I think, pretty well, sometimes not so well. And there's tweaks that we need to be made. But you see the same problems in Republican cities. Now, if you compare us to a rich area that has more resources, yeah, of course it's going to be
like
cleaner.
Like a Scottsdale.
Or even people in the foothills. Those homes are well protected. It's hard for vagrants to get to that area. Mm-hmm. It's different situations. And yes, there's more Republicans live there, but it doesn't mean that Republicans know how to solve the problem. And I think the fact that Democrats keep getting elected over and over again in the city of Tucson means that we're doing something that people who understand what's going on here respond to.
All right, we'll take a break right now. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition, and a quick plug for tomorrow's show. The Friday Focus interview, Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. That's going to be an interesting talk with her. It'll be the first time I've had her on the show since the election, and talk about all of that that was associated with Mike Jetty and the race there, which that both sides spent, in my opinion, like a fortune. I've never seen in my 36 years in town, never seen so much money dumped into a primary election. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. to receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit qlmc.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster in the driver's seat and in the passenger seat today. Across from me is Kevin Dahl, the Ward 2 council member.
Ward 3.
He's the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. So we're talking a little bit about the march. This is characterized as a quality of life measure that city voters will consider next March. And then a couple months later, they may be asked to consider a program called RTA Next, the Regional Transportation Authority Next program, because the current 20-year program is quickly running out of, it's expiring in 2026. In fact, today, maybe even at this hour, the RTA Next board is holding a very important meeting. And what could come out of that? And I think people do, that I've talked to, kind of the feeling is some kind of plan, Kevin Dahl, will emerge today that will be kind of a blueprint that people can, can be taken to the public consider.
That's right, Bill.
Yes.
General Ted Maxwell, who's the board chair, briefed us at our last city council study session and has worked up a plan with the help of the town of Suarita that he thinks might all the entities might support. We discussed it, and folks can go back to our YouTube channel and see that discussion and see his presentation of the elements, the road elements, and plus the other parts of the RTA safety and road repair from curb to curb is going to be part of this RTA Next, which is good and interesting. But it's up to the RTA board, who meets today, to approve that or to change it. And to get to the May election date, it needs to go to the public for public comment here pretty quick. So your listeners should know that there should be opportunities for your input on this. And it's not a done deal until I think December, when the RTA board has to approve the right language. And
there'll be a ton of public meetings about this. It's going to be everywhere, right?
Yeah. Because they want to go to the voters with something that has some widespread support.
Yeah, and this has got some road repair in it, which the original RTA program did not.
Right, and that's been a criticism of the RTA program, is that you put it in and then there's an extra expense for every municipality that has the road to keep it in working order. I'm not sure that they're calling it repair. They're calling it something be legal.
They're calling it restoration.
Yeah.
It's called pavement restoration.
It's specifically curb to curb. There's no added stuff on the sidewalks or the easements or any safety elements.
PR.
There are
pavement restoration.
That's right.
Yes. So there you go. I mentioned your early career with the National Native Seed Search. I mean, you are a young man.
I started off as an intern with them. And
did you really?
In many different capacities. Left, came back as executive director. And even after I left, I came back as the board of directors. I really love the group.
Did Gary Nabhan start that?
He was one of the founders. There were four people who founded it.
Yeah.
It's a great concept. It's basically a seed bank, a seed conserving effort. People notice that Native American agriculture in the Southwest and also Northwest Mexico, the arid part of North America, was disappearing as other food sources and lifestyle changes were made. And we didn't want to lose these varieties of corn, squash, beans, and many other crops because they're unique. They've been bred over centuries to be adaptive to our soils, our growing conditions, and many of them don't need as much water.
It became like a repository of these original
seeds and also knowledge about how they were grown and how they were cooked and stuff. It's a fabulous organization. They have a website, nativeseeds.org. People should check them out, especially if you're a gardener. When I was there, the Western National Parks Association, a nonprofit that helps national parks, wanted to publish a book to help interpret Southwestern agriculture, because so many of the national monuments like Casa Grande, Tonto, the Gila National Monument in New Mexico have ruins, and people, one of the first questions is, well, how did people live here? And growing food and how they ate food, that's all part of it. So. Yeah. I wrote a book called Native Gardening. It's still available. And I think we brought it up because we were looking at my weekly newsletter. And if any of your listeners want to sign up for my weekly newsletter, go to the Ward 3 site and do it. This week, comes out tomorrow, my intro, rather than any particular city topic, I'm encouraging people to think about now's the time to put in your winter garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's easiest gardening in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson, you can grow things year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And time for nutritious kale, and my favorite is sugar snap peas, but also the onions and beets and all of the lettuces and brassicas like broccoli.
How about the grains? The early grains?
Well, corn is a
tasty.
Corn is a grain, and was very important. And that's, you grow in the summer, so it's a little too late for that. There is a winter grain, but it was introduced by the Spanish. Wheat. Mm. They brought in wheat, and people started growing things in the winter after the Spanish came in. Wheat became really important.
Mm-hmm.
Without the cows and the wheat that they brought, we wouldn't have McDonald's in the Southwest. And some of those older varieties are now being used and grown in Pima County and making fine beers, and Barrio Bread uses that ancient variety of wheat in many of their...
And the Mission Garden they're trying to recreate, right?
Mission Gardens is a wonderful place. And in my newsletter article, I talk about all these local resources. Mission Gardens is a place where you can see all sorts of different gardens, not just how Native Americans and before them the Hohokam grew, but also how the Chinese Americans brought crops, how the African Americans brought special crops here. So Mission Gardens is should be everybody's stop. Tucson Botanical Gardens, Tohono O'Toole both have demonstration gardens. And the University Extension Service out on Campbell near the river, Tucson Village Gardens, have all sorts of programs. And you can get seeds at the libraries.
That's what I was going to ask you. Where do you get these old-time seeds?
Well, Native Seed Search you can buy from them. But check out, every Pima County Library has a seed bank, a seed library, where you can check them out. And if you're a good gardener and learn how to save seeds, you can return some. But you don't have to, because there's a lot of good gardeners who are providing seeds.
Mm.
Also at the library, there's lots of good gardening books, including kids' books. And getting kids involved in gardening is such a pleasure.
Yeah. I think we brought that up with you a couple of visits ago about, you know, the libraries looking at kind of a redo, and nothing set in stone yet, but there may be some closures. And my gut feeling, knowing you, is you're probably not all that excited about closing libraries.
No, it's a sin. My father is spinning. But things
being the son of a
librarian,
librarian,
I have more books in my office and house than most bookstores. But libraries have changed. They're providing different services. They're providing books that you can get through your computer. They're cooling centers. There's places where you can get resources. You can use a computer and learn how to do computers. Mm. They have special programs for kids. Libraries are so special, and I hope they find the funding to keep the branches. Pima County will do it smart. If there's overlapping geographic areas where one resources from one library should maybe be split between two others, that makes sense. And the downtown library will be interesting discussion. Mm-hmm. The city of Tucson owns that building, and the county leases from it. Mm-hmm. So if they reduce size or if they move, then we'll have a chore deciding the fate of that building.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kevin Dahl, and what about community that input? Your staff is always ready to try to handle questions, right?
You know, this is something everybody in Tucson should know. Every ward office can help you with problems that you're having, mostly with the city agencies, water department, but they also know about what other nonprofits can help and other places to go. So if you have a problem that you're not solving, contact your ward office. And my staff, I have to admit, are really skilled at helping people.
And also there's this 311 service. You can call that for information.
I called it this morning. I'm walking down Campbell,
okay,
my morning walk, and there's a water break at a bus stop, and it's showering the bus stop. You could take your morning shower in it. I called 311, and they were very pleasant and solved the problem.
Kevin Dahl, always a pleasure. We'll see you next month. Thank you,
Bill.
All right, Midway Point, back in a moment.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to gardeners, 3384 East River Road, open daily, greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is zocalovillage.com. Over in Silver City, it's 81 degrees. What a beautiful afternoon over there in the high country of southeastern New Mexico and the land of enchantment. We send a lot of listeners over there. It's a great time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Start your planning for your about approximately 3-hour drive, depending on where you are in the greater Tucson Valley. Get you over there in about 3 to 3.5 hours. Check out southwestnewmexico.org and begin your planning now for a wonderful late summer, early autumn visit to the land of enchantment. Dr. David Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. He is on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Of course, Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. 23 comets. He needs one more notch in the belt, so I can just say 24 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker Levy 9. That's that very famous comet that exploded with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you, Bill. And I want to really apologize to you and your listeners that I forgot about last month.
That's okay.
But I do want to make a slight correction. I was enjoying what you were saying about Silver City, but I think the Silver City that Wendy and I used to visit would have been in the southwest part of New Mexico.
Oh, did I say southeast?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I shouldn't say this.
No. I'm glad you corrected me, because southeast, we'd be talking about visiting the Roswell.
Yeah.
We'd be talking about visiting the UFO Museum, which I've never been to.
And we don't have a UFO Museum in Silver City.
No. And we'd be doing a trip to Roswell, and then we'd check out the Carlsbad.
Visiting my grandchildren and great-grandson daughter in Albuquerque.
Yeah. So, thank you for pointing that out. Actually, it gives Silver City a little more of a plug. Of course, it is the southwest portion of New Mexico. How was your summer, David?
Oh, it was great. We had our annual Adirondack Astronomy Retreat, and I gave a lecture there called about the 30th anniversary of the impact of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 onto Jupiter. And that really went very well. But I also gave a presentation about Wendy and about how much I miss her. And I know that you are going through exactly the same thing that I'm going through.
Yep.
And it's very, very difficult, very difficult time.
It is. It's just so hard to believe that these wonderful women are no longer in our lives physically, David Levy.
Oh, they sure are emotionally. Oh,
I know. I still talk to Anna around the house. I'll admit it. But I feel her spirit with me. So anyway, I heard you had a refurbished telescope. How's that working out?
When I was at the retreat, Ed Baker had spent the last winter rebuilding Minerva, my 6-inch diameter reflector, and it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And David Rossiter is going to be coming just this afternoon. We're going to do a little bit of a touch-up on it, but the telescope is really so it's like a new telescope, Minerva 2.0.
No, I'm glad you're very happy with it. Is there a nova in our immediate future?
I believe that there is, but it's not going to be the sky-brighting thing everyone's expecting. It's in Corona Borealis, the Northern Crown, and it's just kind of a third of the way between Arcturus and Vega, a third of the way up from Arcturus. You look at the Northern Crown, and the brightest star in that crown is not that bright, but it's there. When you see the nova, you'll see a second star as bright as that one, but no, but maybe a little bit brighter, but not much. And it'll be there for maybe 2 or 3 days and then go down. And it'll be down again for another 80 years. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to see that this fall.
And could you briefly explain what is a nova?
Well, in this case, the star is a double star. There's kind of a red giant, which is the one we see, and then a little white dwarf that is flickering pretty actively right now. And, in fact, just the other night I reported it being brightening up by a tenth of a magnitude and then dropping again within an hour. And so that's kind of fun to watch it these nights.
Yeah, so it's getting a little brighter.
And then fading again. It's flickering.
It's time for the monthly quote of the month from Dr. David Levy. Go ahead, David.
And the quote of the month this month is the most perfect astronomical poem I've ever seen, short of what Tennyson writes. Anyway, this is written by Charles Nevers Holmes, and is called A Perfect Night. No moon and not a cloud, a perfect night. A coal black sky with gleaming gems aglow. A darkling earth when knolls and dales are white, enwrapped in raiment of untrodden snow. Amidst yon firmament's bespangled span, Capella blazes like a beacon's light above the glare of red Aldebaran, or Pleiades that glitter small and bright. There Procyon is sparkling all alone. Orion's jewels are a gorgeous sight, and Sirius is reigning on his throne, undimmed as years and cycles take their flight. And where the higher sky gems gleam and glow, there softly shines a golden satellite, or snowbound knolls and dales that sleep below, ere moon has risen on this perfect night.
Oh, very nice. Let me ask you a real quick question before we wrap it up. What was the kind of the brightest nova in historical terms? Could you share with that with us?
Certainly the brightest one that I'm aware of is Tycho's star, of 1572. It was brighter than Venus and clearly visible in daylight for about 6 months. And that's not a nova. That is a supernova. And we get one of those in our galaxy every maybe 300 or 400 years. And so we're due for one right now, but I don't know.
How many years have you been going up to upstate New York and the Adirondack summer retreat?
Well, I was when I was a teenager, I went to the Adirondack Science Camp at that site, and it always was magical to me. But we've been doing the retreat for now 20 years, and I really enjoy it. Wendy ran it for many years, and now we have other people running it. But it's still going on, and I still go every year.
All right, David Levy, always a pleasure. You're sounding really good, and it's great to have you back with us.
And I'll try not to forget next month.
That's okay. We all forget. All right, okay. David, thanks. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye,
thanks.
Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. We'll take a look at what's on the ballot. I think there's 13 different initiatives, ballot measures that voters will have to decide on. Don Luce is on the live line after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years. RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, off and running now with segment number 4 in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Let's go now up to Phoenix and attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Well, as of September 2nd, that's a couple of days ago, 13 statewide ballot measures were certified for the ballot and ready now for folks to take a look at on Election Day, or, of course, before when the early ballots go out, and that's not that far away. So, Don, looking at this group, some general thoughts before we get into specifics.
Some general thoughts are we have slightly more ballot measures than normal, than we typically do for our general elections. Between 1985 and 2020, in other words, 2 years ago, there were a total of 178 ballot measures. 96 of those were approved, 82 of those were defeated. We have 13 on November's ballot, down from 14. One got knocked off. Pretty much all of the propositions have been tested in the courts on various legal theories. And all of them, with the exception of one, withstood the judicial challenge. So what has been the problem that the opponents have been arguing to the courts should necessitate the ballot being pulled off? Well, we've seen arguments about the fact that some of the propositions, according to the opponents, contain multiple subjects, and under the Constitution, each ballot measure can only contain a single subject and other things causally reasonably connected to it. We've seen challenges based on problems with signatures. although most of the propositions have plenty of signatures, and that hasn't really been a successful argument. And then we've seen challenges based upon the Legislative Council's description of what the ballot measure is all about. There's been arguments that some of the descriptions that came out were inaccurate or biased or misleading, and at least in one case, the court agreed with the plaintiff and ordered that the description be changed. But here we are, September 5th, the election is in 2 months, on November 5th, and we have 13 measures that are going to be on the ballot on a statewide basis.
Proposition 139 will garner the most not only local attention but national attention. And the wording there is pretty darn brief: establish a state constitutional right to abortion.
Yes. Now, there's more, but the description, as you point out, is very brief. What Prop 139 will do, if it's passed, is amend the Arizona Constitution so that the citizens of Arizona have a right, a constitutional right to abortion to the point of fetal viability. So then you ask yourself, what does that mean? How do you define fetal viability? Because that's important. So the definition under the proposition is the point of pregnancy when there is significant chance of the survival of the fetus outside of the uterus without the application of extraordinary medical measures. Okay, so I think we can get our heads around that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes on to say, unless justified by a compelling state interest, which is defined as a law or regulation enacted for the limited purpose of improving or maintaining the health of the individual seeking abortion care that does not infringe on that individual's autonomous decision making. Okay, so yeah, that's a lot. And I would suggest to you that because these phrases are very specific and narrow, that's going to invite court interpretation if 139 passes, because I'm sure that there are going to be people who are going to argue different points with regard to both of those definitions. But fundamentally, it's the right to abortion before the point of fetal viability.
Could that go to the U.S. Supreme Court, or will a challenge if it were to pass?
No, it would be decided by the Arizona Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So as everyone knows and remembers well, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, which was decided just a couple of years ago, basically said we were wrong in Roe versus Wade, which we decided 50 years earlier. So we are setting aside Roe versus Wade, and we are saying that the United States Constitution does not provide a fundamental right to abortion. It's not in the Constitution. Roe versus Wade was wrongfully decided, so we're vacating that decision, and any decision concerning the right to abortion now is going to be decided at the state level. That's what Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization ruled. And so now what we're seeing in Arizona, I think very interestingly, is exactly what Dobbs contemplated. At the state level, we now have a statewide proposition to determine if we're going to amend Arizona's constitution to provide that fundamental right. And if Prop 139 passes, the Constitution of Arizona will be amended, and that right will be enshrined in our Constitution, even though the Dobbs Court found that it was not in the U.S. Constitution.
Then there's Proposition 314, which will generate a lot of attention, allowing for state and local police to arrest non-citizens who cross the border unlawfully.
Right. So, as you and I have discussed on previous occasions, there is a legal doctrine known as preemption, right? And what the preemption doctrine provides, essentially, is that if something is covered under a federal law, like illegal immigration, then the states are not permitted under the preemption doctrine from passing laws having to do with the same subject, unless they're supplementary. But this law would be, in some cases, duplicative or in opposition to the federal statute. Texas has a similar statute that is being challenged under the preemption doctrine, and if Prop 314, which allows state and local police to arrest non-citizens who cross the border unlawfully, is passed, I predict that this law, too, will be put on hold until the Texas decision is finalized, and then if the court finds that the Texas law is unconstitutional, the same fate will probably happen with Prop 314.
What other props now should we quickly mention here, Don, in the remaining 3 minutes or so?
Well, there are two others that I think have a lot of public interest. One is Prop 137. Under 137, term limits for state Supreme Court justices and Superior Court judges would be abolished, and they'd essentially be replaced with, quote, terms of good behavior. And, well, I think it's in response to what we saw several months ago with the Arizona Supreme Court's decision on a particular case. There was some calling for the removal of two of the Arizona Supreme Court justices through a non-retention vote. What we have currently is a system where Supreme Court justices initially sit for a two-year term and then they sit for a six-year term. And at the end of each term, they have to be voted on. Now, it's not a do you like this judge? It's an up or down. You vote to retain the judge or to not retain the judge. In the history of our state, there have only been a handful of judges who have been thrown out of office on that up and down vote. Most voters, for whatever reason, I'm not sure, they vote to retain the judges.
Mm-hmm.
With Superior Court judges, it's a four-year term, and they stand for retention elections as well. So if you want to look at the effectiveness of the retention election as a way to keep or put out a judge, most voters overwhelmingly vote to keep the judges. But what Prop 137 would do, it would end those retention elections. It would simply say, sort of like federal judges, you're in office until you do, you know, something to disqualify you or mm-hmm. you hit retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
So the retention elections would be gone. The other prop that's getting a lot of attention is 140, and that would eliminate partisan primaries and replace them with a system where individuals may vote for the candidate of their choice, regardless of the party affiliation. So you essentially would have an open primary, a free-for-all. You could vote for anybody, and then the top vote-getters would stand for election in the final ballot. Right now, it's the top vote-getter in, for instance, the Republican Party, top vote-getter in the Democrat Party, and the top vote-getter in the Independent Party. They're the ones you see on the ballot. This would change all of that, and you would essentially have an open primary. Now, interestingly, there is another proposition that is going to be on the ballot that is so the one I just talked about is a citizen referral or initiative. There is also a legislative referral, which is Prop 133, that would require partisan primary elections for partisan offices. So you get your choice.
Yep.
And if neither one passes, then we stick with what we got.
All right, Don Luce, always a pleasure of Luce Law offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the counselor, Don Luce, and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everyone well.